disarmament was essential. Yet disarmament has not been achieved. Indeed, unless some effective means of inspecting and controlling the arms production of all nations could be evolved, disarmament remains an idealist dream. Still, there are those in the United States today who demand total and unilateral disarmament. Some say that the United States should support the United Nations to the extent of having the UN set up an international police force, which would take the place of national armies and would be an effective world government with power to enforce peace. There are others who say that the United States, as the leader of the free world, should show its good faith by dismantling its military establishment in the hope that the rulers of other nations would follow our example. Let's take a closer look at the people who are advocating disarmament by the United States, remembering all the while what happened in Korea in 1950 after we had dismantled our World War II fighting forces. First among those demanding unilateral disarmament by this country are the pacifists, the peace-at-any-price boys who demand the individual freedoms and liberties afforded by the American way without the responsibility of defending it. To them, no principle, however sacred, is worth defending by force of arms. The nation is indeed fortunate that the number of pacifists was few during the days when our infant country was trying to win its independence from England. Then there are the liberals, especially those who say that the money being spent on defense is sorely needed elsewhere, especially for the solution of domestic problems. Admittedly, the nation has domestic problems, some of them real and some magnified all out of proportion by various factions seeking aid. They are the same people who are largely responsible for the nation overspending its income for 33 of the last 39 years, during which we have piled up a tremendous debt. They do not care whether the nation is financially responsible or whether it has adequate defenses. They press for social reform, massive public works, big government, and consequent regulation of the affairs of the individual. Then there are those idealistic individuals who sincerely believe that in the light of present conditions, world peace is possible through a world government, elimination of nationalism, and the substitution of a one-world concept. The theory sounds so attractive if only it were workable. But we need to be realistic regarding what would happen. We need to weigh the world situation in the light of what has happened before and what is happening now, rather than in the light of what we would like to see happen. It is certainly admirable to work for world understanding and peace, but at the same time we must be ready for whatever disruptive situations may occur. The fourth major proponents of disarmament by the United States are, of course, the communists. Why are the communists interested in the disarming of the United States? Actually, there can be only one reason. They want to see the United States reduced to a position of powerlessness so that this nation will no longer stand in the way of the communist bid for world domination. Anyone who follows the news carefully will soon realize that the Russians, and other communists also, support every act, policy, or suggestion which will tend to weaken the United States. The communists are a militant force, seeking to rule the world by whatever means possible. Their definition of peace is the absence of opposition to their nefarious schemes to enslave the people of the world. The United States is today the only nation with the strength to successfully oppose the aggression of the communists. There you have those who seek disarmament by the United States, the pacifists, the liberals who want the money for their domestic spending projects, the idealists who envision a utopian world government, and the communists. So what does history teach? What should the United States do in the light of world history and the realistic appraisal of present world conditions? For the benefit of those who claim that disarmament would bring peace, let it be stated that it never has brought permanent peace. Unfortunately, some ambitious ruler always comes upon the scene ready to take advantage of the weakness of the disarmed nation. Hitler and Mussolini, for example, misjudged tragically the strength and the will of the United States at the start of World War II. This nation was unprepared, it's true, but it had the will and the capacity to get ready and to fight valiantly. When we dismantled our fighting machine at the close of World War II, we invited aggression by North Korea. This was a costly war. Throughout history, military weakness has invited, not deterred, attack. The communists know no deterrent except superior strength. If Russia's leaders were reasonably certain that they are strong enough to strike a death blow against the United States without receiving a death blow in return, they would proceed to strike tomorrow. This is Freedom Talk number 48, printed copies 3 for 25 cents. More on the dangers of military disarmament after this message from our Lifeline sponsor.
The United States be displaying good faith in support of its claims to desire peace if it proceeded to disarm?
No, it would not. The nations who look to the United States as the leader of the forces of freedom, the nation which will protect smaller nations against communist aggression, would be sadly disappointed. They would know that the United States could no longer serve as a bulwark of freedom against communism. The other nations of the world, both friend and foe, would lose respect for the United States and its leadership. In this realistic world, respect is accorded to those who have strength. Diplomats and national leaders around the world recognize this fact. It forms the basis of the foreign policy and international strategy of nations large and small. There was a time when the goal of the United States was to maintain supremacy, to be stronger than any other nation militarily. Its leaders felt that by so doing, they would prevent anyone else from attacking either this nation or any nation protected by United States commitments. Our strength after World War II stepped into the gap and prevented a complete takeover in Europe by the communists. We have worked to hold the communists in check elsewhere, especially in Asia and Latin America. But in recent years, we have developed new weapons technology at a very slow or non-existent rate. Our leaders have said that it would be all right to maintain a stalemate, a situation in which both Russia and the United States know they could annihilate each other. The efforts at building our security and continuing to add to our strength have been slowed or halted. Some said it was an effort to demonstrate to the Reds that we are speaking in good faith when we say we want peace. Some said we could not afford more armaments. Some said that if we slow down our arms building, the Russians would do likewise. What has been the result? Have the Russians reduced their pace of arms building? There is no evidence that this has been the case. The Reds have continued to deploy their anti-ballistic missile system for protection. They have worked on other new systems of weapons calculated to increase their power and to open up a gap between the United States and themselves, with Russia in the lead. Obviously, they believe that the time will come when they will be so overwhelmingly powerful they can overcome the United States. They are assessing the world situation in a realistic manner and are working toward that time when they can unleash their power to achieve their goals. As to the idea of disarming and turning over the task of maintaining peace to the United Nations, we can see only too well the weakness of that organization. It has dabbled in the internal affairs of non-communist nations and has failed to call to account Reds who were committing aggression. Its abortive efforts at maintaining peace in Africa and the Middle East have emphasized before the world its impotence when crises develop. The United Nations, made up as it is of dozens of tiny states, each with a voice as big in the General Assembly as the larger nations, can no longer be termed an objective, peace-supporting body. A combination of the non-white states and the communists can control actions of the organization and thus endanger the nations of the free world. Can the United States afford to allow the United Nations to dictate its policies? Can the United States, in effect, afford to surrender its sovereignty to an organization in which a majority often votes against the wishes of our country? If we could reach arms agreement with the Russians and other communist nations, we still could not depend upon them to abide by the agreement. They have broken the great majority of treaties they have made over the past years. We could not trust them to keep promises. And if the past is to be any key to what would happen, they will permit no inspection of their arms supplies or production. The United States is accustomed to keeping its promises, of abiding by its treaties, and of living up to its commitments. Those who believe the communists are sworn enemies will mellow and become peace-loving just because we ourselves are foolish enough to disarm, or either indulging in wishful thinking, or they are woefully ignorant of communist behavior. This nation has to be strong. There is no other force the Reds respect except superior military might. Our strength is all that stands between them and world domination. It is as simple as that. To disarm unilaterally is to invite attack. To disarm under agreement with the Reds is to invite their perfidy and faithlessness. We must remain strong, strong enough so that no other nation will dare to attack us or those whom we protect. This is Freedom Talk. Freedom Talk number 48, and you may order printed copies at the rate of 3 for 25 cents from Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206. I'll be back after the weakness is an invitation to attack by those ruthless and ambitious leaders who recognize only superior strength as a deterrent to their objectives. This is Freedom Talk number 48, Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206.
Order copies of Lifeline, Freedom Talk, a period of 3 for 25 cents. Present extra copies to your Chamber of Commerce and firemen and phone friends. The number of Freedom Talk you've just heard, if you find it a great merit, Lifeline presented by HLH Products Incorporated. 14 and a half.